Turn in your Bible this morning to the book of 2 Thessalonians. I want you to remember in the lesson today that Jesus does care. And the Apostle Paul was trying to help these folks, the Thessalonian believers. And in this lesson today, I'm hoping that you're going to see how that with God's Word and with His indwelling Holy Spirit as our GPS, we can never be lost. We can never be lost. Now this lesson, this is lesson number 10. We've got 13 lessons in this series. For those of you on the internet today that's listening, this is for Sunday, October the 3rd. And the lesson is entitled, Traveling with GPS. Traveling with GPS. Now, we've got a theme verse today. Theme verse is from 2 Thessalonians chapter 2, verse number 8. Look at it with me. He said, and then shall that wicked be revealed, whom the Lord shall consume with the spirit of his mouth, and shall destroy with the brightness of his coming. I don't know if you've ever been traveling anywhere and gotten lost. Any of you ever gotten lost? I've never been lost. I just didn't know where I was. But you know, as you're traveling down the road, you're thinking you're going the right direction. And you think you know exactly where you're going. And you're not going where you thought you were going. And man, you find yourself just lost and confused and just messed up. You thought you knew where to go, and you didn't know where you were at. You turned at the wrong rock or turned right at the wrong tree or didn't see the sign or whatever. And so like many a driver going down the road today, there are a lot of people in our world today that are lost. Boy, they think they're going on the right trail. They think they're headed in the right direction to be able to get to heaven. But you know what? The sad thing is going to be them finding out that they're on the wrong trail. They're going the wrong direction. And you know, it's going to be a sad day when you and I that are saved are raptured out of this world. And those folks that thought that they were on their way to heaven, they've done all the good works that they've done. They've joined the church and they've done this and they've done that, thinking that that was what was going to get them to heaven. And they find out that they were lost. They find out that they were lost. When the Thessalonian believers got that letter that Paul talks about here, they had come to the conclusion that, boy, they had missed the mark. They were told by false teachers that the rapture had taken place and they were left behind and all these things. And Paul talks about it here in this book, this second letter that he wrote to them. He writes this letter to them to help them not be confused about the situation. To not be confused about it. And when Paul found out that these folks had, that he had led to Christ and he loved so dearly, had received a letter written in his name. Now think about that. That was wicked that they wrote a lie, but then they wrote it and signed it with his name and told him that it was coming from him. And when he found out about that, he wrote this second letter to them to resolve the issue. And he wrote this second letter to the Thessalonians to help them to overcome the fear that they had been left behind, so to speak. And you know, the fear that must have been in their heart was probably really frightening. I remember thinking about it before I got saved, what it would be like if the Lord Jesus came and I was left behind. And boy, that scared me. And I'd heard the pastor preach about it. I'd heard other evangelists preach about it in church services and how that the Lord was coming back in a moment in the twinkling of an eye. And I thought to myself, my goodness, I've got to get this thing settled. And on March the 28th, 1975, as a 15 and a half year old boy, I got that thing settled. I remember being on my knees praying And I had heard people talking about when they got saved, how that, boy, they saw fireworks, and boy, they heard whistles, and everything looked better, you know, in their vision and things like that. And when I got saved, when I got up from my knees praying, I didn't feel anything like that. I didn't see any fireworks. You know, at that moment, the grass didn't look any greener than what it had always looked. It looked just as high, and I needed to mow it. And you know what? It scared me. And one of the first things that went through my mind was what I had heard one of the evangelists pray, that folks would not send their day of grace away and miss being with the Lord. And boy, I thought that's what had happened, because I didn't feel what everybody else said they felt. So you know what I did? I got back on my knees again, and I said, Lord, I don't know if I'm doing this right or not, but I know that you said in your word that if I would by faith trust you and confess my sin to you, that you would save me. And by faith, I'm doing exactly that today. I never will forget it. And I've told you the story many times. It was on a Friday. And we always took a bath on Fridays, whether we needed one or not. We always took it. But I came in to take my bath, and I had to fix up the tub. There were five of us in the house, and we had to fix the tub for the next person. I never will forget grabbing the toilet brush and scrubbing the tub. And, you know, it got the ring out. You know, it was stiff. It got the ring out. And I never will forget watching that nasty water go down the drain. It looked like a little tornado. And it was just as if the Spirit of God spoke to my heart and said, that's what I've done with your sins. Gone forever. You'll never see them again. And I didn't see fireworks, but buddy, I felt the joy of the Lord Jesus Christ in my heart that day. And I knew that God had done for me what He said He would do. And you know what? These folks, they knew they had trusted Christ. They knew they had believed on Him as their personal Savior. But Paul wanted to make sure they understood about this day of the Lord. He wanted to make sure that they understood. You know, in this second letter, Paul again teaches them that God is in control of things. Amen? No matter what is going on in our world today, God is in control. I want you to remember that. God is in control. And they shouldn't have any doubts about what is happening. They shouldn't have any fears about it, because God has a divine plan. And all, man, aren't you glad that God's got a plan today? Amen? And He's working that plan. Today we're seeing it happen. Ever since the Garden of Eden, Satan has used deceit and subtleness to place fear within the hearts of God's people and within the hearts of those that try to trust God and serve Him and do what's right. And the devil wants to use deceit today to deceive people and make them think, listen, God's not going to keep His promises. Man, everything you're seeing today, I've had folks tell me that we're going through the tribulation right now. And I said, oh, no, we're not. We're not going through. According to God's word, the worst is yet to come. And, buddy, we're going to be out of here when that day happens. Amen? We're going to be out of here. So I want you to see today that God had just the right man at just the right place at just the right time to encourage these Thessalonian believers and to help them to see that everything was going to be all right. And though all the things He had taught them already, perhaps they had forgotten. Perhaps they had just forgotten about all that He had said. Paul wanted to remind them that God's promises were true. And folks, I want you to understand today, God's promises are true. And there are times when you go through situations in your life and you wonder to yourself, does God know what is happening in my life? Does God even care? Yes, He cares. That's why I put the song on the back today. Yes, He cares. Does Jesus care? Yes, He does care. He knows what's going on. And He wants you to be assured that everything is going to be all right. I remember a passage of Scripture from John chapter 14 that has comforted my heart in many situations. And it said this: Jesus spoke to His disciples, and He told His disciples, He said, let not your heart be troubled. You believe in God? Believe also in Me. For in My Father's house are many mansions. If it were not so, I would have told you. I go to prepare a place for you. And if I go and prepare a place for you, I will come again. Did you hear that? He made a promise. He said, I will come again. I will come again. I looked at that and I thought, man, Jesus can't lie. He will come again. And he said, and I will receive you unto myself, that where I am, there ye may be also. Amen. What a promise. And you know what? As long as you are traveling this life in the book, and the book is in you, and the Holy Spirit of God is dwelling in you, working in your heart and life, you don't have to worry about being lost. Listen, God's got everything in control. Amen. I want us to look at it this morning. Look at chapter 2, Thessalonians, 2 Thessalonians, chapter number 2. We're going to begin in verses 1 and 2. I want you to see this morning how that Paul calms these Thessalonian believers down. He calms them down. They were distressed. They were worried. They had received what they thought was a letter from the man that had led them to Christ and had taught them the Word of God and had told them many things about the Lord's coming again. And now they got this letter saying the Lord's already come back. Man, could you imagine that? Could you imagine the fear that was in their heart? Well, look what happens here in verses 1 and 2. They're distressed, and we can see it here in verses 1 and 2. Now we beseech you, brethren, Paul writes, by the coming of our Lord Jesus Christ and by our gathering together unto him, that ye be not soon shaken in mind or be troubled, neither by spirit nor by word nor by letter as from us. These folks were troubled. They were distressed because they thought that somehow Jesus had already returned and they had been left behind. Folks, think about this just a moment. I don't know how many people are truly born again in this world. There are between 7 and 8 billion people on this earth. If you read, and I've read this, I went back and looked up some statistics about those people and the religions of this world. And there are many, many millions and several billion that say they are Christians, of whom several groups are included that I am persuaded that they are not Christian. The Mormons, the Catholics, the Jehovah false witnesses. You know, all these groups that are talking about they're going to heaven because of their works, their deeds, all these things. And all of these groups are proclaiming to be Christians, okay? And I'm thinking to myself, out of all this, between 7 and 8 billion people that think they're going to heaven, can you imagine the fear that's going to hit them when they find out they truly were not saved? I remember down in North Carolina, we had a family that was coming to our church. I led the folks to Christ. They were Spanish. And we had a group of Jehovah false witnesses down in there. And everywhere we would go visit, they would go behind us and leave their literature. And I saw them at one of my family's houses. And so I went over there. I thought, you know what? Sometimes the shepherd's got to preach the gospel, but other times the shepherd's got to protect his sheep. Amen? And so I went over there to protect my flock. And they're over there telling them that everything I had told them was not true. And if they would come to their church and be baptized in their church and help them pass out pamphlets and flyers, and all these things were going to help them to be in God's kingdom one day. They didn't believe. They only believed that 144,000 of them were going to be in heaven, okay? And I just told them, I said, let's look at what your Bible says in Revelation. And I showed them how that, number one, that 144,000, they're all Jews, folks. Read your Bible. They're all Jews. 12,000 from each of the 12 tribes 144,000. They're all Jews. Number two, they're all males. They're all men. This guy and his wife and his children, somebody's not going to be included in that group, okay? And then number three, if you read those scriptures, they're all virgins. Jewish male virgins. And I looked at him and I said, well, I can tell that this does not qualify you and your wife and your family. And he said, oh, but we've got the truth. We are Jehovah's true witnesses on this earth. And instead of arguing with them, I asked them this question. If I were to be hit by a car right out here on this road, and you know that I've been hit bad, and I'm laying there dying, and I've got less than 5 minutes yet to live, what assurance could you give me from your book that I would be in God's kingdom one day? And folks, the color left their face. You know why? Because they had no answer. They didn't have the truth. They had no assurance. They didn't even know for sure if they were going to be in God's kingdom or not. Folks, we've got assurance from this old book right here. Amen? I've got God's word on it that we can rest assured that everything's all right if we trust Jesus as our Savior. Folks, listen to me today. These folks were distressed. They were scared. They were worried that they had been left behind. And I can only imagine the fear. They were confused by false teachers. The confusion brought them discouragement. And it made them wonder that if what they had heard had been true or false. They were scared. They didn't have the whole Bible like you and I have today. They didn't have all these scriptures like you and I have. And Paul had preached to them, and he had taught them, and because of their fears that they had missed the rapture, Paul implores them here in these first two verses. And he said to them, he said, now we beseech you, brethren, we beg you, by the coming of our Lord Jesus Christ and by our gathering together unto him, that ye be not soon shaken in mind or be troubled, neither by spirit nor by word nor by letter as from us. Paul wanted them to know without a doubt, without any doubt, that he had not written any such lie to them and told them such a falsehood. And you know what? It's sad today when folks fall victim. They fall victim to Satan's lies. I never will forget going to Carroll Hospital, I don't know, probably 5 or 6 years ago. A family in our church had a loved one there. And they knew he was dying. He had lung cancer and he was dying. And they asked me if I'd go over and see him. And I did. I went over and sat down with him and sat right beside the bed. Went through the whole plan of salvation with that man. He said, preacher, I appreciate you telling me all that you've done. All that Jesus did for me. And I appreciate all you've done for me to help me here. But he said, preacher, I just gave my last $20 to the lady from the church down here that said she would take that and absolve my sins when she got back to her church. And he said, she told me that she could take care of that when she got back to her church. And I said, there's no way she could absolve you of sin because you didn't sin against her. You sinned against God. He's the only one that can wash away your sins. And he said, preacher, I've made my choice. And I thought to myself, within just a few days after that, he died. And I thought to myself, when he opens his eyes in hell and realizes that he's been deceived, he heard the truth and he rejected the truth. And folks, it breaks my heart to think how many folks the devil has deceived and that he has caused them to think that, boy, they're on their way to heaven and they're really not. Paul wanted them to understand. Why? Because they were distressed. But look at the last part of verse 2 and verse 3. He said, because these folks that were distressed had been told that they had been deceived by the man of God. That's why the pastor tells you Read the Bible. Don't just listen to him. Hey, listen, don't just listen to me. You read the Bible and see what God's Word says for it, for himself. You see what God says in his Word and verify the truth that we've explained to you. Look what he said. He said in verse 2, "Be not soon shaken in mind, or be troubled, neither by spirit, nor by word, nor by letter as from us, as that the day of Christ is at hand." And then notice what he said in verse number 3. He said, "Let no man deceive you by any means." All the trials that they had gone through, all the persecutions that they had endured and that they were experiencing in their lives was not a sign that the rapture had already come. Okay? Listen, if the rapture had already come, why would they be persecuted as they were? I'll tell you why they were being persecuted, because they were different than the world. And folks today need to understand, listen, when the world hates you, it hated Christ before it hated us. They crucified our Savior. They called him a deceiver. But you know what? Jesus not only died, but he was buried and he arose again just as he said he would. Amen? And he's coming back again. He is coming back again. Remember, there are no signs that point the child of God to the rapturing out of the church. Only the signs that point us to the day of wrath that is coming. And you think about this just a moment. If the day of wrath, of God's wrath against sin, can so clearly be seen in our world today, if we can see those signs of his coming wrath on this world, how soon must the rapture be before Jesus comes again? If you'll remember, in the Old Testament, in the book of Genesis, Jesus said, "As it was in the days of Noah, so shall it be in the days of the coming of the Son of Man." And when you read in there how that they were so wicked, they were vile, violence filled this earth. Every thought and imagination of man's heart was continually on evil. It was just continually evil. Are we not seeing that in our world today? We're seeing those things come to pass. But remember that in that same chapter, in the book of Genesis, it talks about how that when God told Noah, he said, "Noah, yet 7 days, and I'm going to send my judgment. I'm going to send the floods upon this earth." And on that time, when God said 7 days before that, he said, "You come on into the ark." And God brought Noah and his family into that ark of safety 7 days before he brought his wrath down. Now you think about this just a moment. In like manner, 7 years before his judgment is issued upon this earth, Jesus is taking us out of here. He's taking us out of here. He's bringing us into his ark of safety. Amen? And you can read about that here in these scriptures. Listen, Paul wanted them to understand, don't be deceived by all these false teachers around you that come and say, "Oh, we're living in the tribulation today." No, we're not. Why? Because, listen, folks are still getting saved. Folks are being saved right now. Listen, I'm convinced today we're going to have boys and girls and some moms and dads come to church today, and some soul winner, somebody is going to get to lead those folks to Christ out here on Sunday Fun Day. And you know what? The rapture has not yet come, but it is coming. And the day of God's wrath will follow that one day. And folks, I want everybody that can be ready to be ready. Hey, listen, one day Jesus is going to come again, and he's going to take us out of here. What a day that's going to be. So if you'll look at the next couple verses, Paul re-instructs these Thessalonian believers. He re-instructs them, first of all, about the timing of the day of the Lord. Now, I want you to look at it here. Note here in these verses how that Paul lays out at least three events that's got to take place before the day of the Lord happens. Look at it, verse 3, second part of verse number 3. That day will be preceded by a great falling away. Look what he said. For that day shall not come except there come a falling away first. Now that phrase, falling away, it literally means in our English language an apostasy from truth. A turning away from truth. Look at what he said. It's the very act of refusing to continue to follow, obey, or recognize religious truth and faith. That is the definition of apostasy. Folks, look around you today. Folks are turning away from truth. Are we not seeing that start to happen today again? Listen, we're seeing things. It refers to here, and it even denotes, and this is from Webster's Dictionary, a sort of political or military revolt or a defection from something pure and right to that which is not right, not godly, and not holy. That's the definition of apostasy. Folks, how close must we be today? We're seeing these things come to pass. Peter spoke of this over in 2 Peter chapter 2, verses 1 through 3. Turn with me there just a moment. 2 Peter chapter 2, verses 1, 2, and 3. He wrote, he said, but there were false teachers also among the people, even as there shall be false teachers among you, who privily bring in damnable heresies, even denying the Lord that bought them, and bring upon themselves swift destruction. And many shall follow their pernicious ways, by reason of whom the way of truth shall be evil spoken of. And through covetousness shall they with feigned words make merchandise of you. Well, we see that a lot on TV preaching today, don't we? Whose judgment now of a long time lingereth not, and their damnation slumbereth away. That falling away that Paul writes about here, it refers to an abandonment of loyalty to the Lord. It denotes a defection or a conscious abandonment of allegiance or duty to truth or doctrine, and even departure from a correct position and a rebellion against both faith and religious truth. Folks, the devil is a deceiver today. He is going to do whatever he can do. We've seen during this COVID situation how that people have been deceived about a lot of things. We've been deceived about truth in politics. And we've been deceived about truth in economics. And boy, we're deceived. Yesterday, I read in a store up here, they are giving away $250 as a sign-up bonus if you'll just come to work. They're giving people that will sign up, take an application, fill it out, and come to work. They're going to give them a sign-up bonus of $250. Okay? I thought, well, bless Pat. I'll find me some extra hours, and I'll go up here and sign up so I can get $250. Man, I'd like that. Next week's my anniversary. I can get something for my wife that way. Man. And then I read the fine print underneath it. The fine print said that once you sign up and you're hired, you got to work 45 days, I think it was, and you get half of it. And then you work another 45 days and you get the other half of it then. I thought, well, that's no sign-up bonus. Good night. I'll stay home and be poor. Amen. Listen, deceiving and being deceived. I saw a man sitting out at Lowe's the other day. And there's a big sign at Lowe's that said, now hiring. And he's sitting out in front holding up a sign that said, no job, will you help me? I started to take a picture of it. He had a nice little armchair. He had a drink out there with him and everything. I mean, man, it was holding up a sign. Veteran. He was a veteran. And he said, homeless, jobless, help me. God bless. Everybody signs everything. God bless. God bless. And right behind him says there's a sign right there. It says they're hiring right now. Just go in and take a job. Listen, folks don't want truth. That's the problem. And you know what? This day would be preceded by a great falling away. But secondly, look at it, the last part of verse 3 and end of verse 4, it would be preceded by the revealing of Antichrist. Paul wrote here of this falling away that would be coming, and he reminded them that this falling away would come in full force after the church of Jesus Christ had been raptured out so that that man of sin could be revealed as the son of perdition. Now look at it. For that day shall not come except there come a falling away first, and that man of sin be revealed, the son of perdition, who opposeth and exalteth himself above all that is called God or that is worshipped, so that he, as God, sitteth in the temple of God, showing himself that he is God. Folks, that man of sin will reject God's law. He's going to reject all that is true. And he's going to reject the living God. He's going to reject him totally. Folks, do you realize that this, the very spirit of Antichrist is in our world today? That spirit is all around us today. Folks, today, everywhere. I see bumper stickers all the time. Question authority. Okay? You know, all these other things. Listen, the devil is causing people to be deceived. And ever since the Garden of Eden, man has rebelled against God. And it's not getting better. We're not evolving into anything. If anything, we're devolving. The natural man receiveth not the things of God. He's not going to receive those things. This son of perdition that Paul was speaking of here, he describes here, and who will reveal himself to all the world after the rapturing out of the born-again church. After the born-again believers are raptured out of here, he's going to oppose all that pertains to God and all that will... Listen, he's going to exalt himself. Look at what he said. He's going to exalt himself above all that is called God, or that is worshipped, so that he, as God, sitteth in the temple of God, showing himself that he is God. Look at verse 5. Paul reminds them once again, writing, he said, remember ye not that when I was yet with you, I told you these things? He said, don't you remember what I taught you about this? Listen, the devil will take truth and he'll set it aside with his lies. He will deceive people. And folks, if these Thessalonian believers would have simply hidden the word of God in their hearts that Paul had taught them, they would have not been taken by deceit so quickly. That's why a pastor tries to encourage us, stay in the book and let the book stay in you. Don't let the devil deceive you. And folks, if you and I, as truly born again believers of God, will only choose to hide the word of God in our hearts. And we will choose to keep it there and meditate on it day and night. The devil won't deceive us. We will know truth and we'll be able to discern truth from falsehood. Now look what the Bible said. He said, that man of perdition, he's going to exalt himself above all that is called God, and that is worshiped. These things need to be taught. You need to understand this today. The devil is going to deceive people. He is deceiving people right now. But you and I that know the truth, that hold the truth of God in our hearts, don't let the devil fool you. Don't let him deceive you. Why? There's a third reason. Look at this. Because that day will be preceded by the removing of God's restrainer. You say, who in the world is that? Look at verses 6 and 7. And now ye know what withholdeth, that he might be revealed in his time. For the mystery of iniquity doth already work. Only he who now letteth will let until he be taken out of the way. Paul here now, he explains to these Thessalonian believers once again that there is an unseen hand. There is an unseen power. There is a great restrainer that is keeping this man of sin, this man of perdition, from coming out openly on the scene in our world today. And that restrainer is the Holy Ghost of God. And listen to me today, child of God, you and I need to be thankful unto God. We need to be praising Him today for His great restraining power over Satan. Listen, if the devil could have his way, every one of you and me and all the preachers that preach truth, the devil would take us out in a heartbeat if he could take us out. But it's the Holy Spirit of God that says, you can't touch these folks. These are mine. These are my children. And you can't mess with them. But one day, the Holy Spirit of God is going to be taken out of this earth. And guess what? He is the sweet perfume that makes us to be different from the world. Amen? And listen, when the perfume is taken out, the bottle has to go with it. We are the temple of the Holy Spirit of God. He dwells within each of us. And look what the Bible said. He talks about here, if it were not for this great restrainer, how that you and I would be taken out of here. He talks about this. We see it is God who will allow this wicked one day to be revealed. One day God is going to say, you know what? Enough is enough. And I'm taking my children out of here and I'm going to send my wrath down. And until that day, folks, listen to me. The man of perdition, that man of sin, cannot be revealed. Now, everybody's got their ideas who it may be. Oh, I've heard from Obama to his mama. I mean, I've heard all kinds of stuff today. You hear all kinds of stuff. Boy, he's got to be the Antichrist. He's got to be the one. Listen, he's not been revealed as of yet. And you know what? When he is revealed, we're going to be out of here. We're not going to be here. We're not going to be here that day. We see the facts of this man of sin. He's already on the scene in our world today. I believe he's on the scene. He's working his plan. Satan is working his plan. And look at this. You need to understand that God is still in control. God is still in control. You say, Brother Ray, how do you know God is still in control? Well, I'm reminded in 2 Peter 3:9 that God is not willing that any should perish, but that all should come to repentance. Yesterday, we saw several folks saved. All this week, we've seen people getting saved. We've seen people all around the world. Listen, I've heard from missionaries this week of people being saved because they're spreading the gospel. People are being saved. And Paul here writes in verse number 7, he said, for the mystery of iniquity doth already work. Only he who now letteth, that he referring to the Holy Spirit of God, who now restrains, he now keeps all this stuff from happening, until he now will let or will allow this thing to happen, until he be taken out of the way. Jesus reminded his disciples in Matthew chapter 5, verse 13, that we are the salt. We're the preservative of this earth. We are here. And God has got us here to keep us from letting things get worse. We are to be that light that shines in darkness. And we are to shine that light of the gospel everywhere we go. We're to do that. And the Bible talks about how that we are to do this because we are God's light on this earth. You and I have been saved for a purpose, folks. Not to be deceived, but to be found faithful to do that which God saved us to do. The Holy Spirit will not be taken out until you and I, who possess Him in our bodies as that temple of the Holy Ghost. This body is the temple of the Holy Ghost. That's why you don't mess it up. Hey, listen, I kid my wife. My wife ran out of makeup. And I said, well, we can go down to Lowe's and get another order of paint for you. Match it up, whatever. But listen to me. These old bodies, they may not look like much on the outside, but what they possess is worth more than all the world could ever know. Listen, we possess the Spirit of God. And one day, we're going to be raptured out of here. These precious jewels are going to be taken out. You remember that message Pastor preached about the segula? You remember that? The precious jewel that he preached about? Man, we are God's precious jewels. And one day God's going to gather us out. But notice here in verses 8 through 10, he talks about the demise of the Antichrist. This should excite us. Then shall that wicked be revealed, whom the Lord shall consume with the spirit of his mouth and destroy with the brightness of his coming. Even him whose coming is after the working of Satan with all power and signs and lying wonders and with all deceivableness of unrighteousness in them that perish. Why are they going to perish? Why are these people going to die and spend eternity separated from God? Look at what he said. Because they received not the love of the truth that they might be saved. Folks, I want you to notice a couple things real quickly. Number one, Jesus Christ himself is going to defeat the Antichrist. Amen. Hey, listen, I've already read the book. I know what's going to happen. You know what's going to happen. He's going to be defeated. The Antichrist is going to be defeated. It is Satan himself who empowers the Antichrist. It's Satan himself. And Satan or Antichrist will deceive all who have previously heard the gospel and rejected it. And the Bible says here they're going to be forever lost in their sin. What a sad situation to be in. Folks, listen to me today. Verses 10 through 12 talk about the delusion of all the lost. And look what he says. With all deceivableness of unrighteousness in them that perish, because they receive not the love of the truth that they might be saved, for this cause God shall send them strong delusion that they should believe a lie, that they all might be damned who believed not the truth but had pleasure in unrighteousness. What a glad day it's going to be for you and me at the rapture, but what a sad day it's going to be for those who have heard the truth and yet rejected it, and now they're never able to be saved. The Spirit of God is taken out. The Spirit of God is no longer there to help them, draw them unto the Lord Jesus Christ. And folks, the devil has damned their souls for all eternity. What a sad day. That's why you and I have got to get back to telling folks about Jesus. We've got a job to do. Listen, if we follow our GPS, the Spirit of God, the Word of God dwelling within us will keep us on track. Amen? Follow the Savior today. You will not be deceived. Let's pray. Father, my goodness, Lord, what a lesson today this truly is. Lord, to know that we have truth, and many out there today are accepting falsehoods and lies, and they're being deceived by the devil. Oh, God, how they need a faithful witness to share with them the truth of the gospel today. Please, Lord, help us to be found faithful to give out the Word of God for those who are still lost before it's eternally too late. I pray, God, that you'll speak to hearts today. Anyone listening to the sound of my voice that's not saved, God, help them, draw them unto you today that they might be saved. And we'll thank you for what you do. We love you. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen. We love you today. Thank you for being in Sunday school class. Go back and get you another cupcake if you want it.